I can adapt. So, no, it's worth making my way up here, sorting things out. Wow, come on now. Give it up for Island Breeze and God again. And isn't it good to hear how other cultures worship God? And now I subject you to how the Midwesterners preach. Be opening up your Bibles to Psalm 25, and raise your hands if you didn't get an outline. I want to encourage you, especially the visitors, to grab one if you didn't get one. And we went through a series a while back on how to pray upward, inward, and outward. And you can find, and all those online, but you can find the resources. And we put together a Bible study series, and there's resources online you can use and download for different ways to pray. And so, please use that, but it ties into this series, Praying the Psalms. And the Psalms, when we pray this, the Psalms are like music. They were meant to be sung. They're like poetry. They're meant to be read as a prayer. And so God has given us, when it's like, especially some of the new believers in our church, you know, how do I pray? And it's like, Psalms are the instructors for us on how to do that. And I opened up with the series with Psalm 1. And because Psalm 1, we don't know who that author is. We'll be getting to 25 in a second. But it sets the tone. It sets the stage for all the other Psalms. Because it's describing, it's contrasting two kinds of people. Those who are blessed because they chose the path of following Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all the scriptures and psalms. And then there are those, and so this blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the seats of scoffers. No, he follows in God's way. He delights in the Lord. And then there's the others that don't follow God like that. And so I had opened that series, and I just read the first verse of my favorite poem, The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. And it says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. What Robert Frost in his poem doesn't tell you in your journey, it's not just simply choosing to follow Jesus as he stands in that fork in the road and says, this way. Or choosing the world's path, because whichever path you take, which we will now see in Psalm 25, is there are beasts and robbers and adversaries along the way. And that should play into which road you want to take. You want to take it alone? You want to take it with Jesus? Amen? So let me pray, but let me just tell you, Psalm 25, I picked this psalm. I love the psalms, and when one leaps out at me, I ask God to kind of give me a picture of how to pray it. You know, you can just pray it verse by verse, but there's themes that wind through it. And Psalm 25 is, in my mind, the supreme psalm on seeking guidance. David, in many of his psalms, repeats certain lines about the Lord leading and guiding, teaching. But this psalm, if you're in that place, and let me ask you, is there a place in your life where you're needing help in decisions to make, choices you have? You're facing troubles, maybe adversaries, and you're feeling like you're getting tripped up along the way, and then this is a good psalm for that. So let me pray as we enter into this. Our Father, God of heaven, by your Holy Spirit, you inspire the teachings and words of the Old and New Testament. It's not two books, it's one. It's the story of your redemption and restoration of mankind into relationship with you. And we ask that you would, by your Spirit, open up our hearts. Jesus, help us see that you are the one in this psalm that we seek when we pray. And help us be a people, men and women, that know how to listen, how to ask, and how to follow. And Lord, we pray that you will help us as we go through this also know how to be a people to pray in different ways that will clear the road before us, make the crooked path straight, that we may live a life honoring you, bringing glory to the Father, and helping others come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And all of God's people said, when I say Jesus is the fulfillment of the psalm in the Old Testament, it means that he was the promised Messiah that would come to save the world. But he was more than that. He was the Son of God who gives us, and we heard this in the previous psalms, a purpose to live, and he fulfills that purpose for us, and he calls us to walk with him. And not just big, grand stuff. Like we'll be hearing about David. It's not just for the rulers of nations, but for each one of us, regardless of our place. But we've all been given a sphere in which we have a purpose, from kings to parents to workers to leaders. It's in God's eyes, we are all equal, and our callings are all equal. But sometimes we get off course, don't we? But Jesus, in this psalm, because he's the fulfillment of all things, is inviting us to pray and seek his guidance in the choices we make as we journey through the trials of life. This psalm calls us to ask, seek, and knock in how he's wanting to lead us. Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 25, and it's an invitation to pray and journey with him, not just, hey, point me in which direction to go, Jesus, and then I'll take it from there. Or sometimes we don't even pray and just walk ahead. We learn that there can be more guidance available just by asking God to tell us and instruct us in the truth and his ways. And so in Psalm 25, I broke it down in your outline into five types of prayer that are needed if we're going to successfully follow God. Are you with me on this? Understand? Okay. So there's not a lot of time and we can't go it in depth, but I do want us to at least read it. And so we have the words up here, and I'm going to just read the whole psalm for us to have a handle on this. It's a psalm of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it's great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offering shall inherit his offspring, which is an offering to the Lord too, shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Amen. Just the reading of the psalm is powerful, isn't it? So, the first prayer is, Lord, I proclaim my trust in you and will follow you. And so just those first three verses, and you can see it again, verse 22. I'm not going to reread all those verses again, but I want to read key ones just to give you a sense. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Now, your soul is the inner man, the inner woman, the spiritual part of who you are and what you... In the deepest place in which you live out of. And that's the place where David starts off by saying, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, in you I trust. Why is that important when we're asking for guidance? I think it's important, and we've seen David talk to his soul. You ever talk to your soul? Listen up, soul. I see where you're headed. So let's just begin with, I'm lifting you up to the Lord. I dedicated you. You and I, we're following the Lord. And so there's this need to proclaim your trust in the Lord, because when you get into the thick of it, when things get dark or troubled, we need to remember, okay, and it's just like, Lord, I'm renewing my vows to you, like in a marriage. This matters. This relationship is priority. And so David is saying he's making that choice again and again that he will walk the path and the way of the Lord. That's why the sermon title is called Guide Me in Your Ways, O Lord. And he talks about not being ashamed. And being ashamed is when one is let down or disgraced. And you put your trust in something or someone, and you feel foolish for putting your trust in them. And the Bible talks about how, you know, in the Old Testament and New, that we can be, we'll become ashamed if we follow the idols. And what are idols? Idols are, don't think of just the little wooden structure, you know, sitting on the mantle of, looks like an animal or a person. The idols is anything that grabs your heart. Anything that you grow a passion for, and it becomes the first thoughts of your day when you wake up and the last thoughts when you go to bed, that's an idol. And it can be something. It could be a car. It could be a career. it could be your instrument, but it also can be a person. You know, so all kinds of things and people can become, our children could become idols. We don't worship our children. We worship God. So these are things in which he's reminding himself, you know what? One place I will never, because he says, let me not be ashamed, as if, you know, let me be put to shame. Is God going to do that? No, but his soul, sometimes your soul's like, oh, what are you doing to me, Lord? This isn't the way things are supposed to be. But in verse 3, he says, indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. So it's okay to question God. Sometimes in our squeaky clean Christianity, we don't feel the right to be angry at him or question him, but it's okay. He can handle you. and your doubts. And we speak it, and then we remind ourselves that he will not shame us. But you know who becomes ashamed? Those who wantonly go in the opposite direction of God. Amen. So, proclaiming your trust in God is what your soul needs to hear, and it's more than just believing. When we went through the Gospel of Luke, we discovered there are those who are believers in God, but not all were disciples. And it's okay, man, if you're going, well, I don't know. You know, disciple is one who makes that kind of statement. My soul, I lift up to my soul to you, and I'm only following your ways, though it goes against the culture and grain, though it goes against my mom and dad. I'm going to follow you, or my spouse. It's like, I'm yours. It's this deepest of commitments, but nobody starts off. I mean, we all make that profession of faith as a believer, but be moving towards that place where you become a follower who walks the ways of Christ. I said Christ is the fulfillment of the scriptures. When it comes to, Lord, I proclaim my trust in you and will follow you, listen in John, and I just, for the fun of it, I threw some verses for each prayer from the Gospel of John, just to connect the dots for you, because we need to see Christ in the Old Testament, but we also need to see Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament in the New Testament, right? So John 6, verse 67 and 69, Jesus said, speaking of disciples versus just believers, Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Because so many of the believers, it says in John, were walking away from Jesus, and it called them believers. Simon Peter answered, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Do you hear? That's Peter going, man, I'm lifting up my soul to you, and I'm going to follow your ways. That's the first prayer. Then the second prayer is, Lord, school me in your truth and guide me in your ways. So there is this idea that God has truth and he has ways for us to walk, and we need to be schooled by him, right? And it kind of sounds like a negative thing when I use it that way. But you go to school, right? You learn things, but God's school, you don't just learn truth. You learn how to walk it out and live it. And so some of you have heard me tell this story, but I want to just share it with those of you who never heard it. For me, my favorite story of getting schooled was when our family's in the backyard, and my son's 14 years old, and he loves boffering and LARPing and all that kind of. He's got swords on his walls now, and he's dead. He's 14, 13, 14. Dad, you know, let's have a sword fight, because there was some construction growing on, and there's these 1x2 stakes in the ground, 3 feet long. And so it's like, okay, Joel, and so we go to fight. And it's like, I'm taking it easy on him, but pretty soon I realize I'm the one backing up. I'm trying a little harder, and it's like, dang, I can't get this. He's like just totally schooling me on sword fighting. And it's like, this is embarrassing, man. I'm a grown man twice his size, you know? And it's like, and so I thought, well, one thing I got he doesn't is bigger muscles. And so I start then, seriously, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm using all my strength against this 13-year-old who's like, you know, defending me and backing me up. And I hit, and at one point I swing so hard at him, that my sword breaks in half. So then I had only one thing a dad could do to, you know, reestablish his dominance. And I leapt on him and tackled him and threw him to the ground. He's here. I mean, he's a big guy now. Now I can't beat him in sword fighting or Greco wrestling. But then here's the key. I got schooled. I got humbled. And the point is, at some point in our life, we need to be schooled by God. We need to be humbled and say, I got something to learn. I thought I was good stuff, man. I, you know, I was Mr. Braveheart before this sword fight started. And we go through life thinking that way, right? So, you know, I humbled myself and said, got another stake from the construction area. Okay, tell me how you do that, right? So that's how it is with God. And there's many verses sprinkled, and you can find them explicitly. Sometimes they're implied of these verses that we need God's truth and to know his ways. But look at verses 4 and 5. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Waiting, by the way, I'm preaching on this one. It comes through this. There's many beautiful things in here. But waiting is not taking control. It's not being passive and doing nothing. It's active. You wait on the Lord while you walk, but you're not taking over and doing things your way according to your will. So God in this, there is his general, the reason David breaks out the truth from the way, you know, let me know your ways, lead me in your truth, is because God's truth, where do we find God's truth? What? The Bible. And God's given his truth. Now, we don't know it unless we get taught. And so we go to school on God's word. That's why you are supposed to read it every day and pray it and absorb it, right? And so there is God's general will found in the Bible for all the world to know. And I got to tell you, man, I'm convinced that a lot of Christians, I'm not speaking to the world now, I'm speaking to you. A lot of the Christians' troubles and problems would go away just applying the Word of God to every relationship and situation. It has 90% of what you're needing to get through this life successfully. Now, there is also God's specific or personal will for our lives, and we need to be praying for that also. We need to discern the better from just the good, right? And so I'm going to put up a slide here real quick to show you on the back of your outlines from our prayer series we did earlier in the year. When we pray, there is this movement. Our prayers are at one point moving upward, another moment moving inward, at another point moving outward. And not all the Psalms have the inward, upward, outward prayers. Sometimes they do, and it's what's cool about this Psalm is it does have all those kinds of prayers going on. But as we look at the inward prayer, I'll just say this. Upward prayer is devotional. Inward prayer is transformational. Outward prayer is missional. So what kind of prayer did you just hear? Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. What's that? Inward. Exactly. And so we read in the inward prayers, what am I learning from this passage about myself, those close to me, or my church? Where does this passage speak into my life, my soul? How am I going to live it out? You see how this works? I'm schooling you. Is that okay? I want to give you an example of this. It's such a powerful example of David's. So you don't need to turn there. But in 1 Chronicles 13, after we looked at David in the cave of Adullam last Sunday, now he's out in the open, he's following God's ways, and he becomes a king after his wilderness experience with King Saul. And David is learning the way of seeking God's counsel. So you know about the Ark of the Covenant, which is this piece of furniture in the most holy of places that represents the presence of God. And it wasn't God, but it represents his presence. And it had been lost many decades ago. And David, as the a king who follows God's heart wants to bring the ark back into the city of God's people. And so we read in verse 1 that David consulted with the commanders of thousands and hundreds and every leader. And then you can read in verse 13 then that he also consulted with, he consulted with the people and said, what do you think we should do? And they all said, yeah, let's go get the ark. Now, who was he seeking counsel from? Commanders and the general public, right? It didn't go well. As he put the ark onto a new cart and they pulled it and the priest sat upon it, one of the priests ended up dead and he became greatly afraid of the Lord and angry. So my point in this, in just reading verse 13, so David did not take the ark home into the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. It didn't work out. The way Charles Spurgeon, an English preacher, puts it in the 1800s, he said, discernment is not knowing the difference. Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. Discernment is knowing the difference between right and almost right. Sometimes God's wanting to do something for you, but we get it. We don't seek his counsel. And so then what's interesting is we have the ark. Then we're going to come back to the story of the ark, but do you know what's in the middle? Two battles. Now, if David at this point was anything, he was a warrior that could swing a sword, unlike your pastor. And in chapter 14, as soon as he becomes king over Israel and Judah, the Philistines hear about this, and their king and all of their warriors come against David saying, we got to take this upstart out right now, right? But listen to what David does in verse 10 of chapter 14. And David did what? Inquired of God, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up, and I will give them into your hand. Sometimes it's as simple as a yes. But did you pray first about that relationship? Did you pray about the job opportunity? Did you pray in a difficult meeting you're coming up to? I pray, man, before I have counseling meetings, you know, appointments. I'm not going alone. What about you? David learned, okay, inquire of the Lord. And they totally defeat him. That's cool. But the story doesn't stop there. Later, soon after that, the Philistines in verse 13 yet again come to raid the valley and defeat this king. Now David is going, I've done it once. I can do it again. Right? No. Sometimes we ride on our success thinking, therefore it's guaranteed. Sometimes we think God's got nothing more to say on this one because we've written a book about it and we know how to do it. And so, no. But what happens? Verse 14. And when David again, what? Inquired of God, God said to him, you shall not go up after them. But here's what we're going to do, David. Go around and come against them opposite the balsam tree. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then go out to battle, for God has gone out, what, before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. You see, you got to inquire of the Lord. So let me close this story with chapter 15. What about the ark? How does David now reinterpret after his learning to seek the guidance of God? And so verses 13 through 15. David speaks to the priest, and he says, because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to the rule. So the priest and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, and the Levites carried the ark on their shoulders with the poles as Moses had commanded. Here was wisdom. It was already here how to do this amazing thing to bring God into the presence of your life, right? And God is personal. He didn't say, get a forklift and let's get that ark over into the temple. We carry it on our shoulders because we honor the Lord. Amen. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, when Jesus calls us to be his disciples, he is what Psalm 25 describes as the way. If he is the way, you think he knows the way? And if you need the truth, do you think he knows the truth? He is it. So how cool is that? Okay, third prayer. Lord, forget all my sins and rescue me from my enemies. So just looking at verse 6 and 7, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. So here we are in this inward prayer again and remembering who the Lord is in this prayer. We need to remember who he is and not remember our sins. So much, I mean, these two verses, verse 11, verses 15 through 21, there is so much talk about sin and forgiveness. And it's like, well, Pastor, I thought we're talking about guidance, right? What's all this sin? And yeah, we know we're sinners and need forgiveness, but what's all this about? There are many enemies to your following the ways of Christ. And not just the enemies of your sin, but there's the fallen world that causes us to stumble. And there is the adversary who trips us up, which we find in the later verses when he says to deliver us from the those who would afflict us and attack us, those with violent hatred come at us. So there's three enemies you have to deal with in your life, and one of them is sin. That's why it's important, not just your present sins. Your present sins become walls, right, to hearing God's voice and following his ways. Because he's a holy God, but it's as simple as what? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, who's faithful and just? Jesus, to forgive us and cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. So that one you get, you know. But you need to know something else. The longer you've walked with God, sometimes the more troubling becomes the past sins. Did you note sins from of old? In conversations with older Christians, which I'm one of them, and I experience this, my wife experiences this, is you become more, your heart becomes more in tune and aligned with God. You start walking a little bit more in his holiness, even though you still have sins, but your thoughts and hearts become sensitive, and you start thinking about all the old stuff that you never thought twice about, and they come to haunt you. And I think in later years, the old sins can be more of a barrier in walking God's ways because you become so discouraged, disillusioned with yourself. Who am I? And you say, I shouldn't do anything for the Lord. I'm not worthy. But Jesus forgave those sins. And what you need to pray is help me forget those so that I can walk forward in confidence. Amen. And then there's the fallen world and the troubles, you know, and I don't even need to begin to describe those kind of things in your life. We all go through those, the sorrows, the anxieties. It could be with, again, situations, circumstances. It could be relationships. It could be the heart of a parent for their child. It could be for your spouse. It could be seeing a friend jumping off a cliff, not literally, but just going off in the deep end in your hearts. And you can get so troubled that it could become difficult and cause you to stumble, like, where is God? How can he let this illness, how can he let this layoff, how can he let this terrible thing happen, right? So the world also causes us to stumble. But third is our adversary, who would trip us up. He is not, according to 2 Corinthians 10 and Ephesians 6, he is not of flesh and blood. Behind every obstacle to you walking God's way is a spiritual enemy with a spiritual army who's trying to destroy, kill, and steal from you, right? So listen to John 16. I'm closing, you know, doing 16, John for each one. John 16, 33. Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have what? Overcome the world. He forgives your sins. He overcomes the world. Fourth prayer. Lord, I remember your good character and all your promises. And just to read verses 8 through 10. Well, actually, put up verses 8 through 10. So it's important that you, because you got to say, what do I know about this God? What's he like? What's his character, right? And if he's got promises, what are those promises? So let me ask you, verses 8 through 10. This is 8. So tell me, what is the character of God? Good and upright. Is that encouraging to your journey as you face the troubles? Throw up another one. Tell me the character of God. He's humble. He is humble and teaches the humble. He doesn't hold your sin against you. He's not against you. He's for you. Do you realize that? He instructs you in the ways that will keep you from tripping up in the future. Throw another one up, Dustin. What is the character of God? And faithfulness. This, we've been learning that the Psalms, if they could boil down two things they'd want you to know about God, is his steadfast love in the Hebrew, his hesed love. It's a profound word. His love's not going anywhere. You can lean on that love. And his faithfulness, the faithfulness to his truth and promises will never diminish or never become false. And so this is the character of God, but now look at some of the promises of God, verses 11 through 14. For your namesake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, pardon me. So his promise is forgiveness. And the next one, what's a promise? He instructs us if we fear him. But you have to have this reverence of him and say, your way's right when I feel like my way's right, right? I trust you. You are awesome. You are powerful. You know everything. And I don't. I can't do everything. I don't know everything. You do, Jesus. Next one. What is this? His soul shall abide in well-being. His offspring shall. There's a promise of inheritance and whether it's spiritual sons and daughters or literal men, there's a promise and a blessing put upon them. The next one. This one is key. And this is in verse 14. What is the promise? Friendship. Or maybe your Bible translates that as intimate counsel, secret counsel. Jesus is the friend, regardless, even if you disappoint him or fail him. He is faithful in his friendship to you. Listen to John, Did I not put it in my notes. But anyway, John 15, yes, is it up there? Oh, it's in up here, but not in my notes. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for that, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So you see, that's the fulfillment of that psalm. He speaks the things that no one else can know. He has specific details for you to follow. And if he sounds silent, maybe you're walking his path. And sometimes there can be an A or B, and he's going, I'm blessing both. So don't get hung up on that, right? And so fourth, I remember your good character. Fifth is, Lord, I pray for the redemption of those in trouble. That was my last point, and I love that you gave me, Rudy and guys, a hook. Go fishing. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and we're called to follow in his steps, or to put it simply, as he did to the disciples in John 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. So the Lord is sending you as he went. He is calling you to speak the gospel as he lived it. He's inviting you by the Holy Spirit to lead others into this place of their own redemption and restoration. So we're going to close now with prayer. It's a responsive prayer. And what, because I want us to practice this morning. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the prayer, and then you, and then as the leader, I will read out the prayer, and then you respond, okay? Make sense? So let me start. And this is your time to connect with the Lord. Hold up in your heart the thing that you're needing his guidance and will for. So the first prayer was, Lord, I proclaim my trust in you and will follow you. Verse 12, who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. And you guys read verses 1 through 3. Wantonly treacherous. Wantonly. Yes, Lord, let it be so. Lord, school me in your truth and guide me in your ways. I want you to bow your heads for a moment now, and in your own prayer, lift up the prayer, the area in which you need the Lord's guidance. It could be a relationship. It could be a decision. It could be a future. And I'm going to give you a minute to lift up and seek the Lord's truth from his word or guidance. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way, verse 9. Verses 4 and 5. Lord, forget all my sins and rescue me from my enemies. So now, in your own heart, lift up the area of your lives that need forgiveness or rescue. and then we'll again end this section with prayer. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. Take of your goodness, O Lord. Me out of my dreams. Yeah, isn't that awesome what the Lord does? And then our prayer moves outward. Lord, I remember upward. Our prayer moves upward. Lord, I remember your good character and all your promises. So in your heart, praise the God for one of his promises you've heard this morning or his character that especially you appreciate. And you can do it out. This one you can do out loud if you want. Let's do that. Let's just thank the Lord for it's a promise or a character out loud. Lord Jesus, man, I praise you that you would come in flesh and blood, that you would desire to know us, that you forgive all our trespasses and sins, that you have a purpose for our life, the beginning of creation, that we should walk in them. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Lord, deliver me. May not be put to shame. I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me. I wait for you. Verses 20 and 21. And I love that when you follow God's way, you can be men and women of integrity in all the things that you struggle and face. So stand with me now for this last one. And this is where our prayers move outward. Lord, I pray for the redemption of those in trouble. Intercede this morning for someone in trouble or a nation that needs redemption. And all of God's people said, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Amen. Worship team can come up.